Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, hey, friends, welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations, and we hope you had a wonderful weekend. We hope the Lord bless you, and we're excited you're with us tonight. We've got a wonderful show once again, and I know we're going to have a great discussion, hopefully encourage you in great ways tonight. As you know all about our program, most of you know our team, you know who we are. I'm Pastor Joe, you all know me, and this is a group of people. We love God. But we don't just love God, we love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. And it's the shed blood of Christ that gives us eternal life. But the greatest thing about that is we know where we're going, but right now we know what we can do when we trust in Him each and every day. He walks with us and, you know, He shares direction for us. He gives a peace that passes understanding, as the Bible says in John 14:27. So, we hope that the peace that He brings to us and the peace that you share with us back and forth raises the expectation of all of you that listen to the program, as many of you share with me in a text during the week. So we just thank God for you, and we thank God that He's working in your life just like He's working in each of ours. So we pray for each and every person. I'm going to tell you about the team real quick. You know most everybody on this team. If we go across the nation from the east to the west, or the west to the east, so we'll start in the west. And on the west, we have Lompoc, a thriving metropolis of Lompoc, just north of Santa Barbara. We have Dr. Paul Hall, and he's been my friend over 50 years. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher. He's a counselor. Shoot, you say it, Paul's done it. He's blessed my life for so many years. It's unbelievable. 55 years to be exact. And they're still looking for us in Texas. They haven't found us, but we got out there just in time in college a long time ago. But Paul is also a scribe. We'll let you in on a secret in case you deluge him with texts and such for help. He's the world's greatest note taker. There's no question about it. And they tried to get him for the UN, but he's busy with us. But Paul takes notes for everything that goes on here. And we're putting a book out. He's going to work on it. You walking along with us with Raising Expectation, who the guest is, what the show is about, and he has the notes. You still got your pad, Paul?
I'm on my sixth one, as a matter of fact.
There we go. And The publisher's already ready. Publisher's waiting. We're going to be putting this out for you. It's kind of fun to see what God's been doing. Hopefully get your expectations raised all over again. So right here, Paul and I are going to put together, and if we wait around, we could probably rocket to the East Coast or the South. But any more rockets going up, Paul, today? Any more?
About one a week.
1 a week. Okay, good deal. All right. Yeah. We're going to travel together all the way to the south, the east, the south of the East Coast, way south in Georgia, how you say it. And right there, we have two of our favorite people, as you know, that's Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. We just love these people. I just am so blessed by everybody I share with you each week. Steph is the world's greatest health and wellness coach that there is. And like we tell you every week, there's no question. We only deal in facts here. And she is the best. And more than that, she's gone, taking another step as God led her. She not only helps with their health, but she helps with the spiritual health. She helps with emotional health. She helps with not just what you eat and what you need for physical health, but she's taken the Bible and God at His word. And she's taken the next step to begin to try to help people and encourage these ladies. I just think it's incredible what she's doing. And she has a website called Live Life Out Loud. And that's really a great name, isn't it? Live life out loud. Let the Lord who lives in you shine out in such a way that it speaks to everybody everywhere. And a lot of times you'll be able to help people you don't even know. And these ladies check with her, and she does a great ministry. So you want to look up her website, Live Life Out Loud. And that's Steph there. There's her website right there. And she'll be able to share. You'll be able to read. You'll be able to see. And she had our vote from the very beginning, because to this very day, after 4.5 years, she has still allowed us to have fudge. So we really appreciate her all the way down. Right, Tank? Yeah, all the way down the line. So that's a home run. We love and appreciate that very much. Well, we're just going to join forces, the three of us. Now we're going to hitch a plane, fly back from Georgia across Alabama and Louisiana. Oops, we forgot Mississippi. It was down there. Then we're going to cross over to Texas, East Texas. We're going to end up in the thriving metropolis of McKinney, where one of our favorite pastors in the world, probably the best one there in Texas, is Pastor Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas. Ron's very shy, so please, when you write to him, be very nice whenever you send to him. And we love to say this. I don't know, folks. He does have the best bookcase there is. I hate being redundant, but some of you new people don't know that. And there's a picture of it right there. And so I'll have to go. Love what he puts up. So have courage. Ron's got some good stuff to share with us. We missed you last week, brother. Thanks that you made it back home. We're glad you're safe and sound. And I'll bet your little granddaughter just didn't let go of you for a couple of days. She just loves her papa.
Oh, she was thrilled to death.
Amen. Awesome. Nothing like it in the world. Just that hug. All right. Well, that includes our team right there, that we are all together here tonight. And our guest tonight is somebody that you have met. And he's been with us before, because she's basically part of our family. In fact, you guys, somebody asked me this week, Pastor Joe, what do you do? You know, you talk about being part of the family, and we get to see some of these people. I just was getting people from all over the place. I'd pray about something would pop up. We get people, and then they shared special people. And like Stephanie shared Dr. Mary Ann with us. And they're all part of the family now, because you asked for them to come back. And we're thrilled that they do. And when they do, God already has you prepared with a message you're ready to hear. And there's something very special about it. So we just extend this ministry and this this program to encourage people everywhere. Janet Price has been my friend since high school, which is just a couple of years back.
Yes, a couple.
Did my nose hit the window yet, Tank? I don't know, Ron. It seemed that way. But anyway, Janet Price is the president of the Golden State Republican Women. And this is a picture. TJ has put that up. You saw this. Many of you have been following this. The Golden State Republican Women, there she is, as the elected president from women's groups all up and down the state of California, who are actively, prayerfully working, as you know, to help elect the right people to put our values out there that we believe. Many of you hopefully have read the post, if I can find it again. I love it how it disappears when you're looking. But anyway, she is she has been in charge of getting these women in line. And the exciting thing about this is that as they prepare now and they're going out, they're going to be talking to us about some of the new things that have come up since the primaries. There were some great victories in the primaries. Some great men and women won their elections. The lady that we had on, we shared about that last week, Beth Owens for State Senate, and she is real excited about what God is doing there in her life. So she's going to share about that. Janet's in Southern California, and she's got a lot to share with us about what's happening. So I kind of asked her if she'd share about the Golden State Women here and what they're doing now, and then maybe a little bit about the election, some of the things that she's planning on doing. And she happened to go somewhere just a while ago, so she's got some great things to share. So, Janet, we're going to start out, welcome you with the world-famous now Raising Expectations round of applause. Welcome to the program tonight. We're glad you're with us. I'm going to turn it over, the mic over to you.
Thank you. Now, I understand, Joe, that at one point you said she was a golden girl, and then you went, oh, no. Okay, I've got to say, all is forgiven. Do you see this? It's a golden girl. Now, that was given to me by my daughter.
See? Oh, there you go.
You're not the only one.
Ooh, I'm off the hook. Thanks. That's good.
But I appreciate it, and it's wonderful. This is such a year, folks, and I'm sure you're all feeling it too. It's a whirlwind here in California, as that's what I know, but I know it is every place else. So we just catch our breath and you keep moving forward, but it has been exciting. It has been exciting. I did get to go to Mar-a-Lago, and I think Joe was referencing that mid-February. And it was, I mean, what can you say about Mar-a-Lago? It's like the Versailles of America. And it was just amazing because of the person who invited me there. She sat me up with the senators, and I was going, no. She said, no, I want you to take my seat and to get to meet them. So I sat with Elise Stefanik, and what a lovely, lovely lady she is. And Tommy Tuberville, Pam Bondi was there, and Matt Walsh. But it was an overwhelming night to be with that many excited, like-minded people. I mean, you could just feel the energy. But I feel the energy was not just in that room. It's really sweeping the country because of what's going on. And America, as I've mentioned to you before, I really feel is waking up. So we came back from just a fun. Okay, I just want to share this little bitty thing. Okay, my two friends and I, my VPs and my videographer went with me, and we had no idea where we were. It was West Palm Beach. None of us had been there before, and we thought that the place that we were staying had breakfast. It did not, and we were so starving because you know the airlines don't feed you anymore. You're lucky to get water. So we arrived very hungry. So the next morning we said, please tell us where we can go. And they said, well, just go down there and then turn left. And then there's a palm tree and then just turn right. And then, well, we just started out, couldn't find anything open. And this was the day we were to go to Mar-a-Lago. So we finally see a racetrack, gas station. Maybe those of you in the South know the racetrack.
Very nice.
It was.
It's my
So,
favorite gas station here.
hot dogs for breakfast. And then we started laughing, going, we are eating at a gas station for breakfast, and we're eating at Mar-a-Lago for dinner. Does that keep you humble?
Yes,
It
That'll work.
was hilarious. So anyway, we'll never forget that. But then we came home, and there was the Super Tuesday. And so my friend, who also got me down to Mar-a-Lago, is handling Steve Garvey's campaign. So she said, you got to come down here Tuesday night for the watch party at the JW Marriott. So went there, and again, excitement, excitement, excitement. And then that night, I drove back. It was pouring rain, pouring rain. But I went to the California Republican Assembly in the Valley. All the candidates were there who had won. I've never seen so many happy Republicans recently. We usually were so down and was, oh my gosh. We are now excited. So I'm really excited about everything that's happening. And I can feel things turning. You can tell people are waking up. And we're just so proud of our new candidates. Some of these are very young, very new candidates who won in the state assembly. And of course, all the committees, the central committees, just all over the place. And some of them flipped totally to Republican. So I don't know. I can just barely contain my excitement because it's been years since I felt this excited. I don't remember when it was. Joe, you're from here. When was it? When were we happy?
Those are Ronald Reagan.
Anyway, so people are all also getting more bold in speaking. For a long time, we Republicans have been cowed, perhaps intimidated, because their voices are louder. We know that. And their voices are so much more so than ours. We were outnumbered and out, the volume was bigger. But now I think people are putting their feet down and saying, no, this is a free America. We're going to use our freedom of speech to counter that narrative, because look what that narrative has taken us. Mm. It's just incredible. I don't want to go on too much, but can I just say the one thing? I was listening to Mark Levin. Do you guys watch him at night, Mark Levin?
Yeah, Steve. Yeah, sometimes okay. He's in the box, right?
Yes, I catch him all the time. I feel like I should get college credits for watching him. He is so brilliant. He was in the Reagan administration, and he clerked. But anyway, he was giving some quotes from, I don't know if you guys know, I didn't know this book. It's called The Law. It was Ronald Reagan's, one of his favorite books. Mm-hmm. And Frederick Bastiat. He was in the French Revolution. He only lived from 1801 to 1850. So he was a young man. But what he wrote about what was happening in France during the French Revolution, you could tear right out of the pages of America 2024. Mm. It's unbelievable. And he was talking about the concerns that his country was going communist and socialist. Marx was a huge influence back then, huge influence on that French Revolution. So he was writing about how laws are used to bludgeon people, because if something's a law, people believe it's good. Oh, no. We can see now with our DOJ, and we can see the legal system and how it is being used, but lawfare is what they call it. And he printed, I took pictures. I was taking pictures when I talked to you, Joe, because I've got to print out this whole, maybe it's just the beginning of a chapter of it, but you will barely believe how exactly the same it was back in that time, which is in the 1800s, to now. Mm-hmm. It shows what we're going through is not new. This is not new. Only certain people think it is because maybe they don't know history. I didn't know about this man, mm-hmm. but I am so glad that I'm going to get that book. But I said it was a favorite of Ronald Reagan's, and Ronald Reagan studied him. Mm-hmm. We've got to study history in order to confront what we are confronting today. And that's the problem with the universities and the kids. They've never been taught it.
Well, that's an interesting point in that it's not by accident that they don't study history.
Amen.
That's the very reason why it's revised or reshaped or just completely scrubbed altogether. If you don't know history, then yeah, you can be fooled, you can be lied to, you can be pushed into doing anything that makes no, you have no context for it.
Amen.
And I like Bastiat also.
Oh, you
Bastiat,
do
not. Bastiat.
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 I admit I'm new to him. This is a new study.
Uh-huh. Well, I keep a number of his quotes on my computer screen also. Here's one for you. Says, when misguided public opinion honors what is despicable and despises what is honorable, when it punishes virtue and rewards vice,
exactly.
When it encourages what is harmful and discourages what is useful, when it applauds falsehood and it smothers truth under indifference or insult, a nation turns its back on progress and can only be restored by terrible lessons and catastrophe. Mm. That's a cancel culture.
It's fabulous. And it was written back then.
1800s.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. May I just read one, as long as you're on this one? I was writing it down so quickly, but these, mm-hmm. And I won't take much time here, but I love talking about this. It said the law is by no means confined to itself and its proper functions. And mm-hmm. when it has exceeded its proper functions, it has not done so merely in some inconsequential and debatable matters. The law has gone further than this. It has acted in direct opposition to its own purpose. It has applied to annihilation the justice that it was supposed to maintain, to limiting and destroying rights, which its real purpose was to respect. I was just blown away.
There we are.
Blown away.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder, like, let me just, I think the prime example in current news is the case against Trump in New York, where the judge was, we had people we knew that were in the courtroom that Trump was accused of yelling at the judge. It was completely the other way around. The judge had already made his decision and was demanding it and not allowing him to speak, wasn't allowing any of his witnesses to appear. I mean, his attorney, when finally the judgment came, could speak and came out on the court steps and gave her opinion of what had happened. And I mean, it's like, and then the fine or the penalty or whatever you want to call it of millions of dollars.
It's almost half a billion.
Yeah, with interest.
Half a billion, yes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just so obviously crazy that you can't argue anything else. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, if you, well, see, after this, after Basquiat wrote that, was the end of Francis. He knew it. And this could be the end of America as we know it, which is why we are all fighting that good fight for truth and not let lies be paramount. You know, I pray, I say, Lord, turn this country right side up so that your truth is paramount and sovereign, because people have swallowed lies.
Right. So in California, Steve Garvey is 31% neck and neck with Schiff. Schiff was censured for being the lead for trying to impeach past President Trump with a Russian narrative that was proved to be completely false, and a bunch of other stuff that was proved to be completely false. You know, and where's the true, like the judge I just mentioned, where's the punitive damages that they have to pay for their clear biased approach that was like, no, they knew they were not, you know, I mean, this was an act of treason, really.
And talk about election interference.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were after Trump saying he was saying, was like, look at this. I'm hoping that if all of us can see it, that there are millions and millions of Americans whose eyes are also opened.
Yes.
And they are outraged. They don't have a platform like this. But I hope there are many, many, many who say, no, we want our country back. We want law and order, and we want justice.
Yes.
And President Trump's not getting that.
Not at all.
I was reading some of the articles about the primary in California, and that there was a lot of shock at how much Republicans came out. So when you said you know, everybody had a lot of excitement that night, that resonates with what I have been reading. And it's really good to hear and very encouraging. And, you know, what has been going from a slow decline to a cliff for California, right? It seems like there's some awakening. And I was also listening to a conservative commentator this morning about how conservative the younger generation is. And, you know, we have kids in their 20s, we have teens, and they're very, very conservative. And so it's neat to see, they were saying that the young men are the most conservative they've seen in almost 100 years. So we're starting to see this shift, and I'm just praying for it and grateful for it. And they all want to be out voting. So there's some changes happening.
There are. And there is a movement called the Esther Movement.
Yeah.
You're aware of that, Stephanie?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Esther Movement. Okay. Because I've been talking to a lot of women, and they're all getting together, and certainly the movements to the state capitol on the 13th of April, and then in October going to Washington.
Yeah, you can find it on Her Voice Movement. I'm actually going to the one in Georgia. I help lead the Georgia chapter. So that's what you mentioned.
Jennifer Donnelly.
Yes.
Yes. And
so that's about women saying enough, you can't have our children. And so it's a rally for women to just come together and pray over the nation, over our children, over faith. It's a really beautiful movement. And so each state is gathering at their capital.
Yes. And it's so exciting. This is why I'm excited. I got a call yesterday. I think it was yesterday from, do you know Robert Schuller, who was the Crystal Cathedral? Those of you in California, Stephanie, I don't know if you intend to. Anyway, his daughter, Sheila, called me yesterday. And she wanted to pray for me because she knows everything that's going on here.
Amen.
And she is an amazing woman. And she said, do you know a Jennifer? And so at the time I was on the phone, I heard beep, beep. And my daughter was sending me a video of this at the time when I'm talking to the lady. And she didn't know. I mean, this is God's timing.
That's right.
And I said, do you know Kimberly Fletcher? Moms for America. And she's the founder of Moms for America. She's really heading up this Esther revolution, Esther movement, right? It's not a revolution, but sort of is. And so Sheila Schuler said, no, I don't know her. And all of a sudden we got getting beeps in, and Jennifer Connelly knows Kimberly Fletcher, and Kimberly Fletcher is introduced. I mean, it was a movement of about 2 hours of everybody getting to know everybody. That's God.
That's right.
That is God.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
And I think it's great because don't mess with moms. They get really irritated when you start messing with their kids. So it's a it's a great movement and effort. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Right along that line, the mothers, I was thinking, made me think of, you know, Apple is pretty much woke. At least they've all battled for who could be the best at being that years past. But the new, have you all caught the titles of the movies that they're bringing out and the approach and what they're saying? There's an underlying current all the way through, and one, the whole movie's about it, Warriors of the, you know, Masters of the Air. And all of them, I mean, God bless Steven Spielberg at this point, what he's doing. They are bringing about what America stands for. And they brought out, I thought about some of the talks and points Ron has made that have been so interesting from his background and sharing in depth of things. They talked about so-called racism, this, that, and the other, and they address it in the movie. And these are not made-up stories. They're the actual lives of the 100th, the bloodiest group we sent over there. Out of the first 100 that went over, only 7 made it and alive. And this whole thing is talking about, you get so proud to be an American. You can see we didn't get that right. We didn't get that quite right. But look at when we had to pull together what it meant. Spielberg brought this together. Tom Hanks had a few words in there too. And then their life story of these men today who all talked about their faith, the men in the movie that they showed them that they're dead now. Some of them, the latest, I think, died in 22. But that kind of the movies are coming up. And you've got others. What's his name? The designer had to put up with in Paris and all the things. And a whole new approach in America, what they've done through all these things. It's like they're saying, well, you don't want to come right out and say it, but let me tell you what America stands for. And now they have a new one on Lincoln. And what they're talking, it's called The Great Manhunt. You guys like that? I mean, I can't get away from the screen. It is so well written. And of course, Stanton, who loved Lincoln so much, and he calls it his fault that Lincoln, he wasn't there. And the way they're following this story, I mean, it's bringing America to front, you know. And it makes me proud. At that point, you could see God working all this. And this is being done by people of two generations back. Where would you put them? They're not, are they X generation? Are they, I guess I'm trying to remember their ages exactly, but they
so mixed up with those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they
so mixed up.
Dive up and they're saying, wait a minute, like
numbers,
and a lot of good stuff coming out of here that we're seeing. And I think God is really working all of that. Yeah. Lincoln and all of them.
I did not know about any of those, Joe. I'd be very excited to see that.
Yeah, it's you really water up in a lot of these things. And of course, the Tuskegee Airmen, Ron, they just honor the bejeebers out of these guys. They follow them through life, what they did. And testimonies are so powerful. And always when I see history, I think of what Ron said, huh, Tank? Sorry, Tank.
Go ahead. No, right after this, I think it's the last episode in the season. So, I mean, the last couple have had the Tuskegee
Airmen.
Yes. So I didn't realize that they were part of how they overlap with the 100th. It's an incredible series. I watched the Band of Brothers was kind of the first Spielberg series that he did, which inspired me to take my oldest son to Normandy. Basically, we follow the Band of Brothers path. Mrs. Carr, lovely, with is supposed to be Diesel. And I had five pumps to choose from, two green, two black, and one yellow. And I chose the wrong. I figured Diesel's a green thing, and it was not.
Not in Europe.
Anyway, so so people don't know what freedom costs in the world.
Right.
I always swore I'd take my sons after they're 18 to stand 1 foot in America and 1 foot in France. We got a few sites. One is where Patton is buried in Luxembourg. And the other one's outside of Normandy, where there's probably, I don't know how many acres of grave after grave after grave of buried Americans there. And as a 10-year-old, it made me so inspired to be American and to fight for our country. You know, it was an amazing feat of bravery for all these people to do that. And this series is now the Air Force. And there was one in the South Pacific that was also... So there's three of these different series.
And they're young men. I'm going to say one thing, and I'm going to punt the ball here. But like Ron said, they're not learning this for a reason in school. And we all know, without wasting time on words here, what they've done in the universities. These young people, like Stephanie was saying, we have a strong base of conservative young people who are taking control to come behind those words. Because this is what they're doing. Like, for example, right now, they're trying to start a two-front war on immigration. They've got Texas going big time. Now they're going to try and do it to DeSantis in Florida with what's happening in Haiti. A lot of stuff that I don't want to speak too freely. I don't know it all, but the main picture is pretty clear what's going on. And these people are addressing these things. No, they're saying good things. PragerU has some things that have been incredible where they've talked to people. He said, I want you to see the difference between speaking to kids at UCLA and speaking to kids, believe it or not, at Arizona State, who stood for America and stood for, hey, you know, how can we let everybody do this? We won't be the nation they all want to come to. We can't do that unless we are. And so they're turning it around. I'm all done. I was so encouraged by that, you know, and I know God's working in these hearts. Go ahead, Ron, take it away, brother.
No, I'm encouraged also because there you have these glimmers of the potential for them to turn around, and especially thanks to people like PragerU and TPS USA, Turning Point USA. I would venture to say that TPS USA is probably the most significant impact on the young people, this can rise in the conservative movement among young people. And I think primarily because you get people who understood communism, understood the Marxist mentality and the strategy, and who decided to say, we're just going to flip it around then. Instead of, you know, standing in legislatures and other places arguing after the fact, let's go after young people, just the way the radicals did in the 60s, and they did also in the 40s. It's part of the strategy. So I think that's one of the things we have to embrace, because history and American history and exceptionalism isn't going to be taught in schools, not going to be taught in universities. From 1960s on, they decided to corrupt and change that, and they're completely changed. So the only way to recover the country is start working backwards, do the exact same thing. I think the biggest sort of chink in this whole process and chain, the one blockage, is the silent pulpits. It's hard to say, but if the pulpits remain silent, I don't think it matters a lot what else we do politically. It's a mere band-aid or a stopgap measure until the church engages. We've got to find a way of getting pulpits, pastors into public square again. And who willing to take the and back, like and as a philosopher said, yeah, it's not gonna turn turn around, and it's not gonna we're not gonna recover without a huge cost, and
That's
that
right.
means a lot of pastors losing their churches and
Yes.
people even losing
That is
their
happening, Ron. That is
yeah
happening.
yeah and I and I and I don't want to seem extreme, but at this point, I even think in some places it may cost you your safety. And I,
Yes.
you know, and again, Roz and I can attest to that. That was we experienced that back in 1998, and it's only gotten worse since then. I mean, we literally had death threats and people, crowds of people who came and invaded our church and threw rocks and feces and then came to our
Yes.
house, all sorts of things. So it's getting people and pastors in particular willing to say, okay, I'm willing to pay the price and stand up and be that voice, that watchman on the wall. So
Amen.
yeah. So
Amen.
God bless the young folks who are doing it, but God bless the handful of independent filmmakers now, which is another thing. Digital technology has been another blessing. Allow them to go around the Hollywood machine
Oh, you're
and to
right.
make and produce things now to teach where colleges aren't teaching.
You are
Amen.
right. I've got to say, though, that we can't underestimate the destruction that the media has caused
Oh,
on
no,
the.
not at all.
I mean, you were saying the 60s, but I will go back to the 30s. And I was listening. There was a private speaker with AFA. I don't know if you guys know the American Freedom Alliance, but Karen Sigmund, anyway. So she has speakers all the time. She's just had Riley Gaines. She's had Kimberly Fletcher. And there was one 2 nights ago at a private home in Beverly Hills because it involved Israel. And she didn't want Palestinian people to come to a hotel. So it was, anyway. He was talking about how the media was covering up for Hitler and actually, speaking of him in glowing terms back in the 30s. And then they would not talk about the death camps here in the media here. And they wouldn't talk about it. And FDR would not let those who were escaping Germany come to the United States. This has been an amazing machine that we are up against. But I think the only thing that's going to free us from that is truth, and that's being exposed now. And we aren't now beholden to the UP, UPI, none of that. We don't care about that. We've got our own way of making ourselves heard. A new platform.
Here's a big one, Janet. What about TikTok, Ron? You all jump tank? What do you guys think? TikTok gets us
Oh, so
directly
we got
to
kids. So this is one point just that you guys just brought up before that, though. You talked about pastors and the church front and then history. A book called Bonhoeffer, written by Eric Metaxas, talks about exactly the 13,000 pastors in Germany, 3,000 of them banded together to fight Hitler, who they knew was evil and didn't do the job. So it's a repeat of history. If you read that book, that's what we need to not do, right? So, Ron, you're dead on. The churches need to speak up. So TikTok, it's funny because Steph will do it. I don't have it. I know that it face profiles you. I know that it tracks where you go on your phone. There's a lot of things, even when you're not on it, or you've tried to eliminate the TikTok app from your phone, it still downloads data you don't even know it's taking. And it's going to China. It's owned mostly by China. It's run by China. And the CEO of that company, who's Chinese, was asked, hey, how do you feel about the current shift in us wanting to take it over? They go, the government and us will never let you guys do that. So I said, look, what are you looking at? What kind of prop? Because I hear that there's propaganda being put through that social media, like you've mentioned. And Steph says, no, I never see it. What I watch. And I go, yeah, that's perfect. They camouflage. It's going to the kids. We don't watch what the kids watch.
Yes.
If we sat behind our kids and watched over their shoulder, there'll be a little thing that's subconsciously there about, LGBTQE divided
So
by pi r squared. I don't
we
know.
were just discussing this earlier today. So I'll say the things that nobody wants to talk about. All the young people are on TikTok, and it is a much better search engine than any other social media platform, than Google. You can find immediate news right there. So somebody needs to make that happen, because until that happens, there's going to be another one, and they're going to keep going to it, right? I think the big issue is that it's from China, right? That's the biggest concern. But, you know, people are drawn to what works and what works well. And so they're going to have to solve that.
Yeah, I've never seen so much faith, so much strong Christian message. Billy Graham, everything, they're all in there. But like Tank's saying, I mean, some kind of, I mean, everything that God uses for good, the devil always uses for bad, too. So how do you balance that out? I mean,
that's right.
You got a thought for
well, again, it's my nieces and nephews the same way. You can't convince their parents. It's a wicked thing that they have and they use. Because again, it's, I think what we miss is their algorithms that they employ, and they know what you as a grandfather and as a mother and father, they know what you watch. The system is designed to figure that out. So right. it caters to you. But when it comes to your kids, if you're not watching it, same algorithm finds out what it is the kids watch, what needs. And then at the same time, it finds out how and why the best way of actually getting information into them and manipulating it. 60 Minutes did a thing, I think it's probably about a year ago, where you had a tech expert, and he, you know, pro tech, but he was alarmed. And so his analysis is, he compares TikTok in America and TikTok in China. And he says the difference is, it's like comparing opium to spinach. So in TikTok in China, it's filled with child-friendly educational videos and cultural right. videos, and also and the videos and the type of material that you see here, the content see in America, isn't allowed in China. And the, right. and he asks the question, why in the world would you think that a company owned by the same people in China and the United and America, the content would be so much different here than there? Amen. And his explanation is, because there's no such thing as a private company in China. The communist Chinese government controls every single company.
Everything, right.
So
right.
they decide what you can do and can't do. And again, people think I'm a conspiracy theorist. The Chinese are at war in the United States.
Sure.
But it's an unconventional warfare.
Right.
They can't beat us militarily. They know that's a possibility. They probably won't do that. Except if they can weaken American society over a period of time, then slowly we get to a point where we're no longer able to defend ourselves. Here's an example. So TikTok has been banned in the U.S. military, banned in certain government organizations. And you ask, why in the military? Well, latest survey of young people, military age, it says something like 49% in a poll said that they would not go to war or fight for the United States if the United States was attacked. And so here's a professor in psychology says that you can trace part of that mentality back to a number of years of that same generation of kids on TikTok and social media. That's where that attitude. So it's a strategy. It's a wickedly brilliant strategy, but it's one that works, and one of the government recognizes.
I think we're underestimating how cunningly intelligent our enemy is.
Yes,
absolutely.
We have never fully realized, right. and this is Satan.
Yes, absolutely.
So he absolutely is intelligent. I heard, and maybe you guys have heard that too, that even our cars are spying on us.
Yes, yes.
And that they are reporting what they call some kind of dangerous driving to the insurance company, who then raises our rates. And we don't even know about it.
Right.
There is so much.
Well, and they advertise the great service we offer to you, you know, that you if you put this in your car, we'll give you lower rates. How does that work?
So another example, what you said, Ron, is that same age group, girls, women, have a 30% non-binary.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
that's all peer pressure. If I see my friend and they think this way,
yes.
Kind of, and I always cite the example of the high school girls that all became pregnant at the same time because
it was yes, yes, it was a fashionable thing to do.
The feeling of belonging and
yes,
peer pressure.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you, I mean, even with that 30%, right? That's the latest number. It's probably 2 years ago. But the frightening thing is, if you look at the change in those numbers in just 10 years, from maybe somewhere around 5 or 8% to 30% of those kids in less than 10 years. And you ask yourself the question, how is that possible? It's possible because now you have this constant flow and constant bombardment of ideas and information that's geared toward them. And why is the drag queen and the gay movement so focused on getting to kids?
Well, I have a theory, Ron, and maybe all of you share that theory, but it seems that everything that the left is doing is working against procreation.
Absolutely.
They
Absolutely.
Want people infertile. They
reduce
want
reduce the population.
To reduce the population, because it's easily controlled then.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think there was a reason that all these COVID elderly parents, elderly people were put into nursing homes and died by the tens of thousands. Yes. And then there is this LGBTQ thing. And then, of course, the changing, the transgender. All of it works against family.
That's
and
right.
Creating.
That's right.
Well, you think about it. What is God's command? He creates man and woman. He says,
go forth and multiply.
Multiply, and right? And and Satan's response is, well, you know, did he really mean that? Yeah. And the first attack is on the marriage. The second attack is on the kids. Eliminate the kids.
Sure.
So it's you know, God intends this to be multiply and produce, right. reproduce. Satan's trick is to constantly find a way to stop that reproduction, both physically and also spiritually. Yeah, it's never changed.
The depopulation, and I think also the green movement has a lot of depopulation in it.
Sure.
You know, if we really dig deep into it, everything that the left is bringing us is from Marxism, and Marxism,
absolutely.
As we know, Karl Marx was a Satanist. So
absolutely.
There you are.
Exactly. And I hate to say fascinating, but to me it's fascinating because I'm a geek. If you read. So you look at Karl Marx, 1849, 1850, 1851, right? You look at the manifesto, you look at his writings period. In the mid-1800s, his philosophy, the strategies, and the intent, right? Has consistently continued even in our day.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, in our mind, we find these points in history where we say, oh, communism is just exploding, and we have to kind of focus and attack it. And then when it's over, we go, okay, we're good. We've done it over and over again. Instead of saying, listen, Gramsci wasn't kidding. His thing is, hey, we need to focus on the long, slow march.
Oh, right. They're very patient.
Extremely patient. We, on the other hand, we spot check things, the spot check. Instead of saying, hey, listen, as Paul says, you are to watch carefully. Always be watchful.
Always.
Always. Mm-hmm. Your enemy, the devil, continues. It's like he's never stops.
Right.
And we don't get that. Here's like one other point. There's a book written in 19, well, it was published in 1957. It was written before that, but the Supreme Court ruled against the author. He wasn't allowed to print it. But there's a black man by the name of Manny Johnson. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book called Color, Communism, and Common Sense.
Wow.
Manny Johnson became he's a Christian who left the faith and became a communist and then moved up through the ranks and was trained. And Manny Johnson's job was to, as a strategist among black folks and black churches, to create this schism between us. He was a communist representative. Manny Johnson writes about the exact same things in 1957 as Karl Marx was orchestrating and writing back in 1800. And the same things are going on right now. 2020 BLM was the exact same copy of what Manny Johnson did.
Of course it was. This has been Satan's MO since the Garden
of Eden. From the beginning.
Deceive, divide, destroy.
Yes.
Those are the three Ds.
Yes.
He has never stopped doing that.
That's right.
Again, you take what God has intended and you flip it around. And that's what it is.
We're going to have to jump off right here.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wow.
No, no, yeah, where'd you go? No, wrong. That's great. That's good. Janet, great, great insight.
Sorry.
No, wish we had 2 hours someday. So
it's 2 hours. Because I wanted to ask about the election.
No, that was good. Yeah,
we got a lot more to go.
Yeah, we just have Chess come back now. It worked out well. So
I'll let you know who wins.
Okay. is there anything you want to say, maybe a minute spot about your leadership?
Wow.
Well, I'll just, if he could just show that shot of my, this is our first in-person leadership conference as Golden State Republican Women. And it is on the same day as the Esther conference. You see, that's April 13th. Okay, the reason they chose that is that Esther 4:13 talks about for such a time as this. So I think that's why they're all gathering. And I'm going to be at Bel Air Church. So I'm going to be making the most of that and talking about that. But it's open to every club, Republican club in the state. And we have husbands coming and men coming. We've got the Los Angeles Hispanic Club coming. So anyway, it will be at Bel Air Presbyterian Church on that Saturday from 9 to 3, and it's going to be a great day. But I'll be thinking about all of you at the state capitals.
There you go. Amen. Janet went to church there with President Ronald Reagan. That was his church also. Amen.
That was his church. I had the pleasure of sitting in front of he and Nancy one time. And the pastor said, "All right, it's time to stand up and shake hands with the people around you."
Well, I was so happy.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Janet, and you are who?
Yeah. What was your name again, sir? Right, Ron. Just
that's
a minute.
Funny.
Stephanie, can you give us a 30-second spot?
Yes. Oh, yes, we love that you come to hang out with us each week. You can find out everything there is to know about us. Well, some of it. At ebsradio.com/raising expectations. Right up there at the top, there's multiple ways you can donate. We have all the technology. We have old school. You can call Pastor Joe if you want. And as you scroll down, you see all there is to know about the show, past episodes. There's information about each one of us, and then it goes on to the different books. And there's just a whole bunch of information on there. So if you want to find out about us, you can find out.
Amen. We appreciate you. We're going to have to run, but we could always use your help. Thanks so much for helping us to bring this show to your team. Janet, thanks so much, dear friend, for being with us.
Honor.
You're just blessed. Sorry, time flew, but we'll be back. And Tanka, you tell me which insurance man to call. I'll call for you.
But, yeah, I was just going to say, man, that's the startling thing. No wonder why
he drives like a senior adult. What are you talking about?
You got to find that device and pull it out of there.
That's right. Just rip it out of there. All right. God bless and keep you. Love you guys. And we'll talk to you soon. And remember, pray every day. And remember this, God has a plan for you. It starts right now. And tomorrow he's got something he wants you to do. Whatever it is, ask him in the morning. By the evening, you'll say, wow, that was something. God did it. I'm so glad he's my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. See you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in. God bless.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.